WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has some thoughts about a new book titled They Have a Word for It. It's a collection of foreign words and phrases for which we have no simple English translation.
We all know the bittersweet feeling that stirs in us when we encounter someone we no longer love. Well, the Russians have a word for it, razblyuto. Razblyuto is one of several hundred foreign expressions collected by Howard Rheingold in a new book called They Have a Word for It, published by Jeremy Tarcher, which is described as a lexicon of untranslatable words and phrases. There are a lot of words you can't translate from one language to another, of course, most often because the concept is particular to a certain culture. It's not surprising that the native languages of Borneo have no word for alimony, or for that matter, that the French have no word for squeeze play. And by the same token, you wouldn't expect English to have an equivalent for the New Guinea word biritilulo, which means something like ritual boasting about the size of one's yams. The interesting untranslatables are the words that denote a concept that is already familiar to us, but which we've never gotten around to acknowledging with a name of its own. They Have a Word for It is full of provocative examples. Take the French expression contre coeur, which means against the wishes of the heart. If you say she married him contre coeur, you imply that she didn't love him. It would be a useful expression to have around in English. We can say against one's better judgment to talk about actions that ignore the voice of the intellect, but we have no ready way to describe actions that defy the pull of emotion. Several of the best words that Rheingold gives involve the nuances of screwing up. There's the French noun gâcher, which refers to a spectacularly bungled opportunity, like Gary Hart's presidential run. Then there's the Yiddish word fapachkit, which describes the way things get fouled up when people try to fix them. The Watergate cover-up was brilliantly fapachkit, for example. And finally, German gives us the noun Schlimmbesserung, which refers to an improvement that makes things worse, like the bus lanes on the freeways, the new simplified tax forms, or those push-button wristwatches that require two hands to tell the time. Many of these words seem so useful that you can imagine them being imported into English someday, just as we imported schlemiel and déjà vu earlier on. But therein lies the paradox of this book. Words like schlemiel and déjà vu must have been delightful discoveries when we English speakers first encountered them and took them to our linguistic breasts. But now they're just old flames, and we feel for them only the pangs of razblyuto. Reading through They Have a Word for It, in fact, I got to thinking about all the native English words that you might want to include in a foreign edition of this book. Take smug, a word that has no equivalent in any other language I know of. You could define smugness as the complacent self-satisfaction of people who believe they have a privileged access to moral truth. Or consider the untranslatable word cozy, which you might explain as the property of spaces that evokes the sensation of emotional warmth and protectedness. The French and Japanese find cozy a delightful word. If a little hard to grasp, it's just so English. When you spell the definitions out like that, they make us sound like a wonderfully insightful people. But of course, we never stop to reflect on any of this. We take the meanings of cozy and smug for granted. To give a name to something is to take its conceptual virginity. It becomes common, an idea that anybody could have. Reading Rheingold's book, we can re-experience the seductive thrill of linguistic first encounters.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.